Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of light in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought, PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, transgender persons in women's sports. Is it fair for a transgender female to compete against a biological female. Well, this being a whole new territory, I thought it'd be fitting to, you know, define some of this, you know, some of these terms. I'm not going into the whole culture, but from Webster's, transgender, relating to a being, a person whose gender identity, right, who, that's what you identify with, right, differs from the sex the person had or was identified as having at birth, especially relating to or being a person whose gender identity is opposite to the sex that the person had or was identified as having at birth. From Thorpe.com, in most cases, a transgender woman is a woman who was designated, as commonly referred to as assigned, right, designated or assigned male at birth, but who identifies as a woman, transgender woman, right? So some transgender women may use the term AMAB, assigned male at birth, in describing their identity. So there's more to that, but it's not the point tonight. We're not trying to decipher any kind of moral right or wrong about transgender or nothing like that. This is only about them competing, transgender males, females, competing against biological females. So just, if you're listening, try to stay on a, you know, on a topic. If you had something to say, it wasn't even in thinking, because you know, so it's a, gender apparently, right? We relate to gender, right? As a biological phenomenon, but gender is actually how you perceive yourself for transgenders of. People, individuals. So what they're saying is that I may have been born with the in the body of a male, with the body of a male, with the penis, male hormones that my body developed like males do, thicker bone structures, more muscle density, and yada yada yada, right, testicles and so forth like that, right? But I identify as female, gender, G-E-N-D-E-R, right? So I see the word gender is really used a lot of ways, and this is a way that is used here to denote what someone identifies. That's what I'm getting out of this. So gender is not a biological designation, is it? So a biological female is someone who was born female and identifies as female. That's the easy part, right? Their birth gender, right, and the gender they identify as are the same, right? Birth sex, gender, you know, sometimes those words are used the same way. For this, for this show, as I said, we're going to focus on the alleged physical advantages of the trans male or individual whose gender identity, female, does not conform to their birth gender, male, and alleged disadvantages of the biological female or individual whose gender identity, female, conforms to their birth gender, female. So, the question is, should they be, is that fair for a transgender male, female, to compete against biological females? You know, thought is that males have a biological advantage over females. And we're going to get into that. So this appears to be a very critical topic in sports, legislation, and life. Those are the three main things, I guess, three things that I'm pointing out on my show. Life covers everything. So if I miss anything, it goes under life. My throat. It seems like a no-brainer to some is discrimination to another, right? Some people might say, hey, you're not the same. You got an advantage, right? And to others, it's like, hey, wait a minute. I am the same. There's no advantage. You discriminate against me as a transgender person. What do you mean? I can't compete. All right? Some supporters of biological female athlete sports category say a male-to-female transgender athlete has a natural advantage over a biological female athlete, right? Okay. Even more, athletes who are male and identify as female are actually males competing against females. And this defeats the purpose of creating a female sports category. Female sports were created to give women or biological females, right, not transgender females, an opportunity to succeed in sports on an even playing field, which basically means that they recognize that the male had a physical advantage over females. Therefore, in sports, especially physical sports, they had an advantage, right? So what makes it so uneven? Because I don't know, I've seen some women lifting, I saw some women with muscles like guys. And most women don't have that, and even most guys don't even have muscles like that. But they say American Health and Beauty, right? They said according to Webster's Dictionary, the first two definitions of strength are the quality or state of being strong, right? Capacity for exertion or endurance. Second, power to resist force. These two definitions of strength are in the men's favor in terms of being physically stronger, able to lift more weight with less effort, and being more athletically inclined on a mass basis. This can be considered true, that the male is stronger than the female, right? This article is more in depth than what I have. I don't really have the article in front of me. But they say men produce larger quantities of the hormone, right, the testosterone, than women, which is why they tend to carry more muscle and build more muscle faster than women, right? Makes sense. More muscle normally points toward more strength, so that is why it's partly true that men are stronger than women. Men also tend to be larger in size in general than women. Having longer limbs means you have a longer lever to exert force. So your body is, the men's body is more is made to be stronger than a female's body. Okay. Let's see, is that my car going off? Hold on, folks. I think my alarm is going off. Okay. So having larger muscle mass controlled by testosterone means there is more pushing force, right, at the end of the lever, right? Okay. So All that makes sense. Okay, we see. Okay, all right. Having more bone mass helps men produce more force. Anytime you get the average woman and the average man in a weight room and have a strength contest with no previous training, just a guy never lift weights, female never lift weights, they say the man in arm will most likely win. However, essentially, we are all made of muscle and women can train to be as strong as men. In no way is their natural advantage a hindrance to women at all. Women's muscles have the ability to adapt and grow strong if they train hard, which I was saying, I've seen on YouTube some women that they're like a bodybuilder, like muscles, not like a, like not muscular muscle. I mean like, wow, you know, it almost looks like a man. Well, it does look like a man in terms of what I'm used to seeing, what the way I, you know, been seeing men look. I'm not talking about the small muscular women. I'm talking about the size and the girth, everything. Anyway, so, but it sounds a little bit like a contradiction to me because of all the natural biological advantages they stated that the male has over the female. So it's not partly true, as they said. It is true. Females have less testosterone than men. Even males have been known to take testosterone to enhance their performance. Found out something interesting here anyway. From Health Harvard Education, testosterone's role. Testosterone is the major sex hormone in males and plays a number of important roles, such as development of the penis and the testes, right? Reproduction, right? Deepening of the voice, appearance of facial pubic and pubic hair, right? It may play a role in balding, they say, muscle size and strength, bone growth and strength, sex drive, sperm production. Adolescent boys with too little testosterone may not experience normal muscularization, right? They don't get the musculature, right? For example, the genitals may not enlarge normal masculinization, right? They don't get the genitals may not enlarge. Facial and body hair may be scant, like not too much, and the voice may not deepen normally. Testosterone may also help maintain normal mood. Signals sent from the brain to the pituitary glands at the base of the brain control the production of testosterone in men. The pituitary gland then relays signals to the testes to produce testosterone, right? So men naturally produce testosterone. We have a caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Yes. Transgender, we're still learning what that means to people that feel that way. But men and women were created equally, but they're different. And so when a man runs in a sport like running, in the beginning, those sports were mostly given for men in the first centuries, 1900s. Women, there was no women's sports. And women had to fight to create a women's version of sports, a women's version of sports. And they went in their category because of how fast they can run. I'm using that example. So for a man is able to compete with a woman, even though he's claimed to be transgender, The man will win every time, and the women won't have any trophies at all because they are different. They're equal, but they are different. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, that's a good point. That there's differences, which the author did describe differences in the male, which makes the male stronger than female. So it doesn't mean that a woman can't outrun a man. It just means that given if you set that race up, the male has an advantage due to his physical ability, right? So it's not simply because you're male was not simply because you're female, is given the same conditions, right? Just what they said, a normal male and a normal female, the male is going to be stronger than the female. So if you take that with training, he has an advantage with lifting weights because he's going to develop, he's going to be able to lift more weights faster and develop faster musculature than the female will. So that is what we call a disadvantage. So I understand that. And I got that from what the author was saying, even though the author said that that doesn't stop women from training to increase their musculature and compete with men. So it says the pituitary gland then relays signals to the testes to produce testosterone. All right? When testosterone levels rise too high, the brain sends signals to the pituitary to reduce production. So if you thought testosterone was the only important thing in men, you'd be mistaken. Testosterone is produced in the ovaries and adrenal gland. It's one of several androgen male sex hormones in females. So apparently men and women have testosterone and estrogen. It's just that men have more testosterone and women have more estrogen, right? The female hormone, right? So which, like, the difference, as the speaker, as the caller was saying, the difference appears to make a difference. And that's what the people are trying to say when it comes to sports, that these trans persons have a physical advantage over these biological females. They're just born that way because they have these attributes, the attributes that I just talked about. Stronger bones, bigger muscles, ability to generate power, and just larger in size, things like that. So back to testosterone is one of several androgens in females. These hormones are thought to have important effects on ovarian function, bone strength, sexual behavior, including libido, although evidence is not conclusive, they said, right? So from popular science, one study of professional male triathletes found no relationship between testosterone levels and performance. That was one of the complaints that testosterone was causing these athletes to, you know, to increase their performance. Another looking at professional cyclists found the same lack of correlation. Yet another comparing cyclists, weightlifters, and controls to each other on a cyclist test found a negative correlation between testosterone levels and performance. Now they're talking about testosterone levels and performance. So that's a little different because males have natural testosterone and naturally more testosterone more than the female. So, I mean, a study of teenage weightlifters found no relationship between boys' testosterone levels and their performance, and a negative correlation among the girls, meaning they performed better when their testosterone was lower. So testosterone is the hormone that makes you male, and estrogen is the female hormone that makes you female. Being male has a particular advantage due to the natural male hormone testosterone and physical development of the male. But they say they noticed no correlation between testosterone levels and their performance, which I thought that was interesting. Even though you know a male's gonna have much more testosterone than a female would. Very well. And as it with a lot of tests, you know, if somebody else have different results, different, anyway, we get to that. Very well helped. So estrogen is the major part, is a major sex hormone in women. And it impacts more areas of your health than many realize, right? So estrogen, as you know, you should suspect sexual development, right? including the vagina and the uterus, development of breasts, changes, signal. These changes, development of these things, signal upcoming arrival of the menstrual period, marks the beginning of childbearing years, the menstrual cycle, prepare the body for pregnancy. You get a period, build up the line of the uterus, develop bone development and health. Estrogen plays an important role in the healthy development of the female's bones or your bones. It also regulates bone turnover in adult bones. It protects against bone loss. In menopause, when the estrogen levels fall, women can experience significant increase in bone loss because the protective effect of estrogen is gone, right? Heart health, right? Estrogen protects against heart disease, keeps blood vessels healthy, decreasing inflammation, controlling your cholesterol levels. Prevention of heart disease is significant in premenopause for women. In menopause, when the protective effect of estrogen is gone, there is a steady increase in heart disease in women, okay? Heart disease is one of the leading causes of death in women in the United States. Mood management, estrogen is a pretty significant effect on the brain. Serotonin is the mood balancing chemical, and estrogen promotes its production, all right? So the more estrogen, the more mood balancing a person is, right? Low estrogen is related to a drop in serotonin production and contributes to postpartum and menopausal depression, right? So the reason why I'm even saying these things is because estrogen and testosterone are important. And they all, you know, estrogen is the female hormone. Testosterone is the male hormone. We have a caller. Caller, welcome to Provocative Thought. Hello?
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 This is Q. Q, can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound like you're fading in and out. All right. How you doing?
Okay. I'm all right. I disagree with the whole thing about transgenders and identifiers as males participating in athletics against females, against women. They're men. And no matter how many operations they get, they're always going to be men, and they have an advantage, just like you just said. And this whole idea of them trying to get the whole world to recognize them as something else, or them trying to get the whole world to accept them as women, is this. It's not healthy. I don't think it's good. Just like the other caller said, we need to protect women, girls, and their athletic franchises or categories, whatever they have. It seems like the left, the political left, is they're really big on liberties and stuff like that, people being able to do what they want to do and things of that nature. But they need to be careful of, in this particular case, like women, the people who those liberties are going to affect. And I don't think they're really looking out for women in this case. I heard there was a lesbian that was speaking up for women. I can't think of her name right now. She's British. And she's speaking up for women and the need for them to protect them, and particularly in regards of sports. And she's an outspoken lesbian and about women's rights and all that kind of stuff like that. And I heard that she got actually censored by her own group on the behalf of these guys who are coming off as, you know, transgender women, identifying as women. It's like ridiculous. Like the whole, if they're doing that, that's like compromising the whole women's rights thing. It's like they're compromised because they're falling in with these guys. You know, they're not protecting themselves. They're exposing themselves to the will of men, basically. Guys can do whatever they want.
Right. So basically saying, you're saying because they're not actually female, right? They identify female, right, and being born a female is not the same thing. What you identify, and which is in the definition of trans, that it means that you identify with a sex that's not your birth sex. So they're saying that I'm not born female, I identify as female. And just to skip moving ahead, I think they have to have a 1 year of therapy, right? Hormone therapy, you know, the therapy that they get for to help produce those characteristics. They need a year before they can compete. So I'm thinking that individual looks like a female if you see him. I don't know because I've seen a picture of the two track stars, but I haven't seen a good picture of them. You know what I'm saying? So, but it looks like a female running on the track to me, but I'm not saying, I can't, you know, make the distinction that that's a guy. I can't look now and say, oh, that's a guy right there. So,
right.
You know, so sounds like they're saying, hey, we have been through this, or it sounds like even the people who control the athletics are saying, okay, when you have reached this level of hormone, you know, in your hormones, female hormones in your body, then maybe they view that as equal to or like, a biological female. I don't know. You know, that's what I'm thinking, you know, because you've got to have a year therapy before you can, run as a female. Like last year, I could be running as a male and getting this therapy, yeah, right? And then the next year, I can run as a female because I had my year of estrogen therapy, hormone therapy.
Right. Some athletics have made those distinctions with the hormone therapies and stuff like that, but I don't know if that's across the board. Someone was saying that they can identify as a woman without doing anything.
Right.
I mean, no surgery, not even shaving. So the minute they identify, as far as they're concerned, they're a woman.
That's right. That's another issue.
So it's this brother in England, Zuby. He's a rapper, and he's challenging that because he's identified as a woman to prove his point. And he's breaking all of these female weightlifting records because he's identified as a woman, and he's breaking these records. He's, you know, knocking out these weights and everything, and just destroying these records, these world records in weightlifting, because now he's a woman.
So, I didn't really want to get into what is a woman and what is a man, because it seemed like we that's what we're coming back to. Let me try to. What we're basically saying, and what I'm hearing, is that a transgender person cannot, the gender you identify as, you cannot actually be physically. You can identify as any gender you want, but you could never be that gender. Is that right?
Correct.
Right. So
you can
a man
only
if
be
you were
what
born,
you are.
Right. You can only be a man full of female hormones that cause you to develop breasts and more fat in certain areas, you know, things that women do, you know, develop, how they develop.
Right.
But it can make you grow a vagina, have a period, and things that really make you a woman. You can only go but so far to appear physically, have some of the characteristics of a female. That being said, that does not make you female.
Right.
Even if
you're
even
a man
if you
with
surgery,
an operation.
Right. You know, if you had surgery, that still doesn't make you female because it's a surgical procedure and it's not actual. You don't actually have a penis. Nobody's
right.
Because you don't have testicles. You're not able to, impregnate anybody. I don't even know how that thing works. So I didn't want to get into all of that, but because we're talking about track and field. But they have a physical advantage because they are men, right? And we know that men, what gives men an advantage is testosterone. That gives men their characteristics, right?
Right.
So one author was saying that it didn't. They found no correlation between high testosterone and performance in males, which was interesting because males have high testosterone, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have a higher testosterone level than females, right? On average, right? And there are females who have high testosterone levels. If we get that far in the show, we could talk about that. But just we're only talking about males right now. Guys who are biologically born males who identify as female. That's what we're saying. People who say they are female, they identify as females. And like you said, they don't have to be taken. See, those guys that you're talking about, they can't compete against the women. Not in track and field. In order to compete in track and field, you have to add a year of therapy. Feminizing hormone therapy. Now, I don't know what goes with the weightlifting and stuff like that. And, you know, I mean, when you think about it, why can't women compete against men if they want to in a track and field? It doesn't have to be the women's event. It was a men's event. It could be an event where whatever you are, you can compete. Why don't they just create that?
I agree. That's what I think they need. I think they need their own category, their own specific leagues and stuff like that. Because, because they have an advantage over women. Once they reach puberty after that, that's it. It's all over. It don't matter how many hormones you take, you have an advantage.
Right. Okay, so trying to see, because women's sports are, basically they're saying that they're setting women back 50 years or something like that. Because the women's sports were made to give women an opportunity to win in sports categories. That's what the purpose of that. But trans people are saying, hey, you discriminate against me. I'm female. This is a female sport, right? And you're discriminating against me if you don't allow me to participate in this sport. Now, some people, I think I read was some, sometimes they go by the birth certificate. You were born male, you can't run as a female. I mean, somebody going, I don't know who it was. I got it in my notes. So, but this is a new territory. And this thing has reached legislation. Biden has produced legislation to support this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I disagree with that. Another thing that they kind of they might be overlooking is the female that's trans, that's transitioning into male. So in some places they say you got to compete under your natural birth sex or gender.
Right.
So you have women who going through some form of transition who have to participate or compete against other women. Well, now the women are at disadvantage again because now you have a woman who's hyped up on testosterone competing against a woman.
Right, but there's already been a study where they say, hey, testosterone's not doing that.
I don't think that's all the studies. You may have found one study that says that, but I don't think that's, I don't know if that's universal.
All right, okay, so, well, anyway, we know that a trans man can participate in sports some track and field once they have the gender-affirming hormone therapy, right? So I guess the affirmation of that is they look like a female. So for those guys, they can run after a year. They, even if they ran against, in the men's, it's an athlete that did that, a track and field athlete. He did exactly mm-hmm. that. He ran as a man. He didn't do good as a man. But when he got into the women, mm-hmm. he did better. You know, two of them, out of fact, and both of them came in first and second.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, but I was looking at the race. It don't look like they was coming in. They was like a half a track in front of everybody. It was like a couple of seconds or something. So I mean, you know, it's like they can. I don't know if it's somebody else that probably would just blow the women away, but it looks like they can be beat to me. I don't know.
Maybe. They probably can. It doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to beat everybody.
Right.
But somebody's not going to get some accolades that was due to them because they trained so hard because now they're fighting a dude or they're racing against a dude.
Right.
But
so
they missed their whole opportunity.
Right. Okay. Right. Because you only can come in first, second, or third. So there's two of them in there. One came in first, one came in second. So the female came in third. So that knocked out three females. That's the way they look at that.
Right.
Right. Right. And you know, for people to say, for these tests to come up and say testosterone has no correlation between with performance, it's interesting that the male is they was already recognized that men are stronger than women and that they need a even playing field. They needed to create a women's criteria. I mean, a women's category in sports. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. you know, just by the observable, you know, the eye test. You know what I'm saying? The hell with the doing any kind of genetic thing or talking about hormones. Just looking at it, it looks like the women just aren't as strong as the men. Period.
Right.
And I really look at it. And you take that and look at athletes the same way. Well, the men are generally bigger than the women, right? That's why we have the women's basketball league and the men's basketball league. But then you had little guys in the basketball league, like Iverson. But where? They're pretty small, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they have musculature and bone density of men, not of females, right?
That's right.
Right. So even Iverson, he actually was a football player.
Right.
So those are the advantages that one author said that meant that men have over women. And that's not arguable, you know, that there's a natural advantage. And, another author said they didn't find any correlation between testosterone and performance. And some had performed well with low testosterone levels. But no matter how you look at it, the testosterone in a male is always going to be greater than the testosterone in a female, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the debate here. And also this whole thing about, hey, we created a category for women to compete in sports. Now we have, and actually men helped that happen, right? And now we have mm-hmm. men trying to destroy that. It's like a double-edged blade, a pendulum, swung in women's favors, and now it's swinging, cutting the women off. And seriously, because a couple of track and field females, biological females, are suing. You know, so it's that's not the only sport that they're participating in. I mean, I'm gonna cover some of this stuff. Get to it all. Let me see. The two pair track and field individual, Terry Miller and Andrea Yearwood, biological males or identified females, have dominated girls' high school sprint events in Connecticut. Miller won in 2018 state girls' 100 meter dash in a meet record of 11.72 seconds. with Yarwood coming in second. That's what I was saying, right? So they say biological males, right, born male, right, who identify as female, have crushed the field in Connecticut high school track. Now three girls are fighting back with a lawsuit, right? So we got three girls say, hey, that's not fair, right? So these guys are crushing them. Let me see. And a biological male who identifies as a transgender woman won an NCAA national championship over Memorial Day weekend. Franklin Pierce, university runner, C.C. Telford, right? That's another one. So this is C.C. Telford, won Division II women's 400-meter hurdles, right? So you can't get mad at him because he's allowed to run, right? Can't get mad at him. He's allowed to work, to run. The rules say he can run, right? He competed in on FPU's men's track team as recently as January 18th. So the NCAA policy is that athletes who identify as transgender can compete on women's teams if they suppress their testosterone levels for a calendar year. That's what I was saying. Otherwise, so-called mixed teams, which have both males and females, can compete in the men's division, but not in the women's division according to NCAA rules. See? I didn't even know they had mixed teams. Did you? I never heard of that. So, but now they have mixed teams with males and females on the same team.
I know about them having mixed events, but I didn't know they had.
Can't hear you.
I wasn't, I'm not really familiar with mixed events in track. I think I've heard of it before, like in the relays or something like that. But I'm not really familiar with that. But I know about it in tennis.
In who?
Tennis.
Tennis, okay. And right, that seems okay to me, mixed teams. Or any team you want. Y'all two girls want to play against the two guys. If they want to compete against each other, hey, but you don't get rid of the women's sports. You know what I'm saying? That's what they're saying. Hey, that allows them an opportunity to participate in sports and have success. So you can have women's sports. Sounds like we just need another category. Maybe two. I mean, it looks like they got mixed on couples, right? A man and a female can participate. A transgender person can participate. So it sounds like we need some more categories to make. And who knows? Maybe at the end of everything, in terms of, you know, why not have the fastest woman run with the fastest man and the fastest transgender person? Let's see what happens. See who wins. Excuse me. Here's a interesting, but sad but interesting incident where MMA fighter Fallon Fox broke an opponent's skull to win matches. Now he's being praised by some in the LGBT community. This is from Breitbart. Reporting this. They say Fox, who is a biological male fighting physically weaker females and inflicting life-altering harm, apparently qualifies as brave, according to somebody by the name of Ziegler. She was the target of a torrent of hatred. I have literally never seen targeted by LGBT athletes. Okay, well, you're going to have problems anytime you're not a biological female and you beating the hell out of the females, right? As an intense hatred, Fox may have been subjected to, it's highly unlikely that social media comments directed his way ever fractured his skull, they said. The title of the bravest athlete would have been much more appropriately bestowed on a biological female who dared to enter the cage with a fighter they had no hope of matching in terms of power and athletic ability. They're talking about the natural ability, the natural characteristics of a male that testosterone builds in a male's body. See, right here. So let's say this guy injured these women. He destroyed another lady, Erica Newsom, in an MMA fight where he gripped his hand her around the neck and, you know, kneed her in the face. She fell face down, and that was her last pro fight. Fox beat up women in the ring, won every match but one. Somebody beat him. I'm not saying it's okay or not. I'm just saying, hey, seems like there was a female that beat this guy. I was talking to somebody about that, and I think they were saying that they beat him, but they didn't beat him. They won the fight, but they didn't actually beat him up. We have another caller. Hello, welcome to Provocative Thought. Hello? Hello? Okay, I'm going to come back to you. Call back in again, and maybe you're not ready to talk. But I see that you pressed number one. That's why I put you in. Okay, so anyway, he beat, let's see, Tamika Brent, giving her a concussion and breaking seven orbital bones, taking an unfair mere body advantage, they say. They just say, hey, people are just saying, this trans person does not belong in a ring with women. I'm saying guy because it's confusing to me, but this trans person does not belong in a ring with biological women because of these physical advantages. These are, they say, these are evidences of the physical advantages. How these trans people, trans persons were ran on the men's team, didn't do well, ran on the female's team, started crushing. Right? They say the only difference is they have they're biologically men, which means they have more testosterone, which produces more dense bones, more musculature, and things like that. So they saying that's a disadvantage. So this guy, this trans person, Fox Fallon, is getting a lot of heat because they're looking at him as what he was born. Because you are what you were born, just because you say you are female or a woman doesn't make you a woman. You can't say that you're something, you know, and become that. You can identify as female, but that doesn't change you from being a male. And I think that's what's being said here, that, hey, you can identify as female, feminine, woman, whatever you want to do, take as many estrogen shots as you want, but you are a man who is identifying as a female, taking estrogen shots and things like that. The estrogen is not being produced in your body the way that a woman that is produced in a woman's body, because we know that it helps a woman develop her female characteristics. And we just talked about the ovaries and the period and things like that, which these guys don't have because they have penises. So that's the argument. And that's why I say you need a category for trans individuals How about this? Let's get that started. Get that party started, because they're not new to this. They've been around a long time. So trans people, just like women want to participate in sports, they created a category. Where's the transgender category at? And, you know, because they are different. As the first caller said, they, even with the trans female and the biological female, they are different. They're not the same. So it's no argument that they're different. It shouldn't be anyway. And the testosterone argument is disputed, as she said. And one lady said she fought a lot of women but never felt the strength that she felt in a fight. Brent said this here. She never felt the strength she felt in that fight. And she said she's never felt so overpowered in her life. And she's an abnormally strong female in her own right. This is a strong female. Right? She probably lifts some weights, wrestles some guys. She probably do all of that. You know, box some guys. She probably did all of that. And she said, hey, I never felt nothing like that. That was too much. And I think we need to take that into account. It's a reason why. It's the reason why they created female sports. So I see a reason to create a sports category for transgender individuals, people who identify as, who are not born of a gender, but who identify as a gender. And if they want to race against everybody else, the biological individual, that's another category. So that way everybody happy. You know, you can be the best transgender athlete. You can really be that. I'm the best transgender athlete in the transgender category, and I beat the best female, and maybe I beat the best male. I don't know. That would make you the best if you compete against the best of the best. Anyway, I don't know. Anyway. Post-millennial report notes that the International Olympic Committee said it would take treatment for 1 year prior to competition to level the playing field between transgender men competing against females, and females would need years of hormones to gain some male advantages. So it would take a long time for females to even gain the advantages. Said there are no cohesive federal laws in the U.S. to determine what makes a male eligible to compete against women. And while males have won women's championships, female-bodied athletes have not risen to the upper level of male competition. That's another indication that testosterone, which produces the male characteristics, bone density, musculature, you know, twitch muscle. So that's an advantage in its own, a natural advantage. Doesn't matter if it's high or low in the male. That's what I'm getting from this. Doesn't matter if testosterone is high, if his level is high or low. He has more testosterone than estrogen, and that's all it takes. That's what I'm getting from the science. I'm a Fox told Outsports. This is Fox, the trans person from the MMA. He said my teammates, they quoted him as saying, my teammates had no idea I was trans. They recognized my endurance, my strength, my ability to cut weight in the same category as cisgender. Cisgender means same, right? Same side gender. Your gender you identify with is the birth gender, right? There was no idea in their mind that I didn't belong. They were thinking, oh, my God, right? They weren't thinking, oh, my God, she's going to kill somebody. They were just looking at him like he was another female, so basically. It wasn't. He's saying it. Fox is saying there wasn't any kind of outrage, but apparently there is. That sounds, let's see. So, from the Western Journal, right? They say, even after hormone therapy, trans athletes still have advantages in women's sports. That's what the study said. So you just, the other study was about testosterone levels. And that's a little different. Because men already have an advantage because they have more testosterone than a woman. So there's going to be that advantage because their bodies are going to develop differently due to this hormone, right? Testosterone. And I read in the opening statement of some of the advantages of, you know, being a male in terms of your physical development. But if you read that article, it goes on to talk about some of the strengths of a woman. And women do have a lot of strengths that men do not possess. Everybody might be aware of, they bear children and that pain and whatever goes on there, I don't think a man could survive that. Well, it's unrealistic to even think that he could do that. So we're going to keep it moving and keep it on to the subject. Anyway, they say a member of the LGBT community looking for the scientific evidence to back their claims that men who identify as female and compete against biological women do not enjoy competitive advantage were let down this week, right? It said, according to the Daily Caller, Swedish medical study posted online that Karolinska Institute and Linköping University seems to shatter the validity of those claims, right? So they said transgender athletes who were born as men but identify as female have subsequently higher muscle mass, right? Testosterone does that, right? And athletic output than their female-born counterparts. According to the researchers, even the drastic hormone therapy for female athletes needs required transgender athletes to undergo, right, cannot definitely place them on an even footing with their biological female counterparts. They think all the hormone therapy for a year is not going to put them on an even footing. Our results indicate that after 12 months of hormone therapy, a trans woman will still likely have performance benefits over a biological woman. That's what the science is saying. The science that came from Swedish medical study from the Karolinska Institute and Linköping University. Remember previously I read something where they spoke about testosterone. That may sound the same, but I think it's a little different because they are actually looking at men too with that, trying to see if testosterone enhanced performance. But it's something that causes men to be bigger, stronger than women, and it's testosterone. So it seems like a no-brainer to me. From NBC News, trans women retain athletic edge after a year of hormone therapy. That was the qualification. That's why everybody's saying a year. The rules say, all right, you suppress your testosterone for a year. That puts you on an even playing field with a biological female. Science is saying, that's not true. The finding raised question about the current Olympic guidelines, but the lead author cautions against using them to back bans in recreational and school sports. Okay, from the Federalist study, transgender male athletes keep physical advantages even after female hormone injections. Those are estrogen injections. So they say essentially this study concludes that men who transition by taking testosterone suppressants can rejuvenate whatever muscle mass, strength, and power they may lose initially through proper training. Okay, so now somebody is cautioning them against using this to block bands in recreational and school sports. Well, if you don't do that, it's going to cut the legs off of these females who are trying to excel in female category sports, because if that's where it starts at, you know. So you're going to have, you know, if you have a trans athlete competing in sports, the best, the winner is, you know, they have an advantage, they say. So I'm trying to see why would somebody think that there was an advantage when the male physically has a natural advantage over the female. Why would somebody think that? Oh, we have another call.
That's their agenda. They're trying to get this thing accepted, so no, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters except for what they want. Their whole argument is pro what they want. It doesn't look out for the woman at all.
Well, what about facts? Because or the science of them, they had a scientific study about testosterone, but they had a couple of studies about transgender athletes, and they say that no, that's not true. They're not on an even a level field after a year of hormone therapy and testosterone suppressant. So, you know, I mean, if you're gonna use science, you gotta be true. You know what I'm saying? We need to be first deal with the truth, and that's why I said we just need categories. Okay, we have the transgender athletes. Okay, why not? Where's the transgender category at? Where's their category for them, so that they can compete on an even edge with individuals like them? Same thing with females. Females can compete on an even, platform with individuals like them. Where's the transgender platform? Do they merit that, or they don't want their own platform? You know, and they should create something where they can compete against everybody. Everybody, you can run against the female, you can run against the male, you can run against the transgender male. That should make everybody happy right there. You know, we have another caller. Hello, welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hello?
Hello.
Can you hear me, Carl?
Yes.
Hello? This is Carol.
Yes.
You know, I had watched a documentary where they were talking about the transgender male. I guess that's the one that's become a female, you know, and them competing in the sports. I didn't hear you say anything about this particular aspect. I mean, you kept talking about muscle mass, but another thing that they kept mentioning was their bone density. You could have mentioned that before.
Yeah,
but
I mentioned
men's bone. Right.
I mentioned it.
And that was, okay, see, I was on earlier. And another thing they mentioned about these things, which you could have mentioned before, is that it was more common for men who convert to women to join women's sports than women who convert to male to join male sports. You
and
know,
be
and
successful.
It's probably.
And be successful.
It's probably because. Right. It's probably because they know they have the advantage. Why? Because those characteristics that they have as male do not go away, what you're saying, with the hormone treatment. You still have the
right.
Bone density. You still have, like you're saying, the muscle mass.
Right.
And it seems as though, too, a lot of those characters were not previously in sports as men, you know, before converting to female. You know, they weren't even in sports, but a large majority of them were not even in sports at all. So I think in one instance, too. I did watch wasn't so much a documentary, but it was a show in which they had a feminist and a transgender male speaking, and they want to be to replace, actually, they want to replace the natural woman. You know, they don't even want to be considered equal with the natural woman. You know, they're acting like they are, you know, the woman. So that's a whole another thing. They really think that they're, you know, they got that woman thing down.
That sounds like another show.
Right. That's a whole another show. Yeah. But anyway, that's what, and I think with that issue pertaining, I'm not sure if this particular individual was a bicyclist, and the girl that she was beating was like the champion for, you know, champion. But then once this person got on this, you know, of course they beat this girl. And then the girl filed the lawsuit saying this isn't right because of these advantages that the individual has.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Right. So I guess what's making this look kind of suspicious is that the science, you know, because it is recently, they say, the Journal of Medical Ethics published a study that directly counters an anti-science narrative that liberal elites have been pushing for years, they say, right? That transgender men, sometimes called trans women, and biological women are exactly the same, right? Now, I read the study, right, about testosterone, right? And they said it was this narrative has been pushed for years. The study concluded that transgender athletes born male have an intolerable or overwhelming advantage over biological women in athletic competitions. All right? They said healthy male test subjects did not lose significant muscle mass or power when their testosterone levels were suppressed below the International Olympic Committee's guidelines for transgender athletes. Further, it found that these biological males could retain their muscle mass through training and that because of muscle memory. And I heard of that. I had a friend, he talked about a muscle memory. So their mass and strength could be rebuilt through training. It also found that giving opposite sex hormones to transgender people post-puberty did not alter the athlete's enhancing effects of testosterone on the male body. See, it's a natural thing. So it's not about you having a high level of testosterone in your body at the time that you performed or ran or jumped or skipped or whatever the ass thing you did. It's the fact that you do have testosterone and that what that testosterone does for the male body. And it just creates this thing that is more muscular, more bone dense, you know, so stronger than the female. Essentially, the study concludes that men who transition by taking testosterone suppressants can rejuvenate whatever muscle mass, strength, and power they may lose initially through proper training. This would render transgender hormones useless in regard to leveling the playing field. So this is what they're saying in their study. Scientists, if the field is not level. So these female athletes have a basis for their complaint, and some of them are complaining in court, thus forcing biological women to compete against transgender men gives the men an unjust competitive advantage. Well, Representative Elam Omar, Democrat, Minnesota, wrote in a letter to USA Powerlifting that the myth that trans women have a direct competitive advantage is not supported by medical science. This was a representative from Minnesota said. We just had scientists saying, not true, right? Suni Chandi of the National Women's Law Center stated, there is no research, no research, I just read you research, to support the claim that allowing trans athletes to play on teams that fit their gender identity will create a competitive imbalance. So here we got somebody's not telling the truth. It seems like we got a lot of that going on in this country, at least, probably over the world. But we're going to stay right here in the good old U.S. of A. According to the NCAA handbook, according to medical experts, the assumption that a transgender woman competing in a women's team would have a competitive advantage outside the range of performance and competitive advantage or disadvantage that already exists among female athletes is not supported by evidence. See that? So here we have a contradiction and a conflict of science, because somebody got to be wrong. Think about it in reverse. If transgender males have no competitive advantage, then why don't we see anywhere near as many transgender females dominating in male sports or even attempting to compete there? They said it is shocking that some people believe medical evidence is needed to support the fact that a biological man would have an unfair athletic advantage over biological women in sports, even if he is on testosterone suppressant. But that day has come, and so has the science. So they're saying that the science is suspect, all right? They said none of this medical evidence should be surprising. Here are some quick facts about the inherent physiological differences between men and women on an average. Men produce 570% more testosterone than women, leading to major differences between the sexes, right? Muscle complexion, bone thickness, skeletal mass, red blood count. Women produce more estrogen than men do, which leads to higher body fat and less lean muscle. Women produce more progesterone. That means it burns fat and muscle tissue. That helps them burn fat and muscle tissue. Men produce more type 2 muscle fibers, fast twitch muscles, than they do type 1 muscle fibers, slow twitch, which gives men more power than women and helps make men stronger and faster. So testosterone is very, very important, or else all of this isn't true. Women produce an equal amount of type 1 and type 2, which helps women have more endurance and quicker recovery times. And I guess that's helpful for having a baby. Transgender men competing against biological women. Men dominate in women's sports because of their inherent biological differences, right? Between the sexes. And I just named the differences, again, some more differences between the sexes. So inherited. So this whole thing about taking testosterone or not, you know, it's not the issue. The issue is that men are inherently stronger than women. And for these reasons that, you know, the musculature is different. The bone structure is different. You know, cause they can look at skeletons and tell if it's a male or a female. Of course, there's a whole lot of things you can judge that by. But, you know, bone density, see, I would not know to look for that. But I know that I learned this one thing about bone density. If your muscles are strong, your bones have to be more dense, or else the torque from the muscle would break your bones. So, like, if human beings had the musculature of a gorilla, diamondback gorilla, you could make a fist and break your own hand because your bone density would not support the muscle. So that's something I learned about that. So just for the record, Diamondback gorillas are 100 times longer than man. They say, so this is not to say that all men are faster and stronger than women. However, these men aren't just average. Joes coming off the street. They're not the average Joes, right? There are male athletes training in their respective sports before training in Fox women and competing against biological females, right? Laurel Hubbard, a New Zealand powerlifter who used to compete poorly in the men's division, right? He sucked, right? Took first place at the Pacific Games, beating the female Commonwealth Games champion in both categories. He went from being, you know, in the first two biological females finished first and second in the 55-meter dash at the Connecticut High School Girls Indoor Track Team. We talked about them, right? And second, a biological man, Craig Ceci, talked about him, completely dominated the NCAA Division II Women's Track National Championship in the 400-meter hurdles. See? Toeffler beat the second-place runner by 2 seconds. The second-place runner bested the third by 0.28 seconds. The year before, Craig had been competing for Franklin Pierce University as male's track team. His ranking that year was 200 out of 390 amongst the men's 400-meter hurdles. See that? And they say testosterone don't have nothing to do with it. And that it's an even playing field. That's not true. The evidence is in what's happening with the success of the athlete. So I don't know. Like I said, if transgender individuals want to participate in sports, it sounds to me like they need their own category. That would put them on an even field. We don't have to have this argument. We said, okay, you trans, you're a trans female. Okay, y'all line up right here. See which one is the fastest. You can win that. You want to compete against the men, you compete as running against the men. That's another category. Increase something there. You can have a female running, a biological female running, a trans female running, a trans male running, and a biological male running. How about that? That should make everybody happy. You have your own category and another category in which you can run against everybody. That should make everybody happy. I don't know. I don't run the Olympics or track teams in different places, but, you know, they're saying that you should stop discriminating against women. With science now providing evidence to what conservatives have been saying all along, the Democratic Party must face scientific facts and stop discriminating against biological women. The Equality Act, which passed the Democrat-controlled House of Representatives in May, would essentially destroy the biological distinctions between males and females by making gender identity a protected class under Title IV of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. They're making, basically what that means is that if I identify, or what the caller was saying, what Q was saying, if I identify female, I don't even have to get no hormone shot. Once I tell you I'm female, I could look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. If I say I'm female, I'm in the female on weightlifting category. And I put all the weights on, I'm going to win this. I'm going to bust this up.
With the beard. You can look like Arnold with the beard. With a full beard.
You can look like Arnold with a full beard. And as long as you say you identify as female, you can go ahead and win that competition. Now, I can understand why a person would question that, because that is obviously a man. What you identify as and what you are not the same thing. What you identify of doesn't change your biology. So we have to wonder what is causing politicians to protect gender identity as a protected class in the Title IV of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, because that doesn't change what you are. As the science is saying, you're a male. You're born a male. You're gonna die a male.
So that's the bubble.
That's the bubble.
That's the left bubble. The right has a bubble, and then the left has a bubble, and that's part of the left bubble.
Oh, their bubble is what? Do what you want to.
You can identify. A man can identify as a woman and be is supposed to be a woman. All that. That's part of the left bubble.
Right. So
they understand that their extreme, that extreme is part of their bubble.
Right.
Doesn't make any sense to anybody except to them.
And there's no science to that.
I don't think everybody believes that. I believe that they got a certain amount of people who are voicing that opinion. A lot of people are afraid to disagree with, you know, because they're going to get that label. Oh, you, that's somethingism, or that you're somethingist. You know what I mean? They're afraid of getting labeled if they count it. That's what I believe.
Okay. So they're going to be ostracized by their own party, because apparently this is a Democratic party thing. Republicans, they don't subscribe to this. No way, no how.
Correct.
Okay, well. It's interesting because it's a lot of, I didn't know really. I had just heard about the athletes, the transgender athletes competing in the recent years, like last couple of years, really. I didn't know that they were, you know, doing that. You know. But they say we run out of time now, so there are like 2 minutes left, so. I don't know, y'all. What do you think, you guys? Because this is going to spill over from sports, and it's going to spill over to your everyday life. And it has, depending on where you work at and you come in contact with, and things like that. Does a person have a right to be identified with what they want to identify? Sure they do. You can say you're anything you want to say you are. But if you got to remember that it doesn't make you that thing. It doesn't change what you actually are. So let's get something, let's get to the table with the transgender community or the LGBT community and everybody, sports community, and see what we can come up with. All right? If you want to make everybody happy, let's get some more categories out there like you did for the female, like for the women. Until next week, y'all, I want to thank everybody for calling in, all you Kenny Jones, and the creator. Each one teach one. Don't forget... next week, y'all.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.